Welcome to A Time for Change. I'm Marquise Francis, joined by Alexis Christophorus. Today, we begin by turning a lens back on our industry, the media. Nielsen, the company that tracks audience behavior, just announced a new initiative, this time to measure the reach and impact of minority-owned media companies. It's called the Diversity Media Equity Program, and it's designed to quantify the value of diverse media companies to advertisers.
And here to talk about the changing media landscape is veteran journalist and philanthropist Soledad O'Brien. Soledad, it's great to meet you and welcome to Yahoo Finance.
It's so great to meet you guys as well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You and I have been doing this for a hot minute and we've never really met before. So it's a personal pleasure to welcome you to the show, Soledad.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Alexa. I was like, we literally have been doing this for a long time separately, and it's so nice to get to meet you finally, sort of kind of in person-ish, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. We'll do it again when we're all back in the studio and it'll be fun. But this will do for now. I'll definitely take the virtual. So Soledad, this Nielsen report, you know, we dug into it a little bit, and it, as Marquis said, it highlights the power of diverse-owned media. And one of the big takeaways for me was that in markets with Black-owned media, almost half of all Black viewers typically watch the evening news. Now, if that's the case, are traditional media companies, you think, missing out on a big opportunity here? And are we at the point where these smaller media companies are giving those established networks like NBC, like CNN, a real run for their money?
Yeah, I think part of the problem has been how I have seen it always historically work, which is news directors kind of have a gut about their community and their audience. And often that gut is wrong. So a gut in cable news might tell you two congressmen screaming at each other is amazing television. I might argue it is not, right? So you end up sort of creating this programming that oftentimes is based around what the leadership thinks is their audience. And I think when you don't really know your audience, or you don't think that, for example, if you think your evening audience, are you thinking African-Americans? Are you thinking like, wow, actually there's a whole bunch of people that we could capture that our audience doesn't necessarily have to be what just the news director thinks. And when you create a lot of diverse programming, I think you have this tremendous opportunity to bring more people in. We found this when we did a zillion years ago now, Black in America, and I remember for CNN. And I remember, you know, there was like the unspoken, kind of spoken, you know, don't make it too Black. Like, we have a white viewership. We want to not push them away, but we'd like to, you know, grow our Black viewership. And what we actually found was that kind of program. I mean, it was plenty Black. It was called Black in America, but it grew the white audience as well as the Black audience. And when we did Latino in America, interestingly, Latino in America grew our Black audience, right? So I think there are all these sorts of senses and takes on what an audience wants and likes, and often it's just not accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to that point, Soledad, speaking of diverse just content, one of your latest projects is the HBO documentary called Black and Missing. And you really highlight how hard it is to get the attention of both media and even the police to search after these Black missing people in America. So I'm just curious, how hard was it, number one, to sell that show? And I'm curious, what was your biggest learning?
Yeah, that show is streaming right now on HBO Max. And it wasn't so hard because I think HBO is always sort of willing to do an edgy topic. But really, it was very critical, both of law enforcement and media, when it comes to, well, why is there what our colleague who passed away now many years ago, Gwen Ifill, used to call missing white woman syndrome, which was people would just go crazy. Media coverage, law enforcement, and regular people. You guys are too young for that. But Alexis and I remember that during the Natalie Holloway, not that she, we have just been around a minute, during the Natalie Holloway, when she was missing, literally there were people getting on planes to go to Aruba to search for that young woman. And I interviewed her mom a zillion times, and deservedly so. She deserved a lot of airtime. It was a horrific story. But what you find is that young women in a similar situation who are women of color, Black women, don't get that same kind of coverage. And so the question we wanted to ask was why. The foundation, Black and Missing Foundation, really was established to help the loved ones of people who've gone missing, you know, one, get the attention of the media, get the attention of law enforcement, get the attention of the community as well. But, you know, that's a really good example of a gap. And often, you know, you'll say, well, but why is this woman's story not as interesting to you? Right? I mean, a weird circumstance, a dramatic story, an attractive young woman. What is, and you realize it at the end of the day, it comes down to like, well, to an individual personally, they just didn't think that that girl was important. Her story was interesting. Her story would be relevant to the audience, whoever that audience is. And also often they just didn't think she was cute enough, that she just wasn't what they perceived to be the attractive damsel in distress. I wish I were making that up, but I am not.
Yeah, that's a sad, sad reality. And we see it, you know, infiltrate all sorts of media to this day, which brings me to Black in America, which you talked about just a minute ago, all the way back in 2008, your series on CNN. Since then, what kinds of changes have you seen in the kinds of stories that are being told, Soledad, but also in the people who were telling those stories?
You definitely see changes. I think you see more diversity on camera, but as all of us know, the real power, right, is the person in the meeting that talks about what the direction of the network is going to be. So that's not always the anchor. The anchor, I think, has a fair amount of power, but often the person who's the executive producer or even the news president, right, is really deciding what the agenda of the network is going to be. Also, that's a position that can hire people. So hiring positions always mean that you have much more power to decide kind of what the tenor of the network is going to be in terms of demographics in the layout of the staff. So yeah, I think I've seen certainly more diversity in front of the camera, which is a big plus, but I would like to see more diversity in the higher ranking positions in newsrooms across the board. And I think that that has been very slow to change. And if you look at the number of Latinos in newsrooms, that is crazy. Those numbers are so incredibly low. We don't even have to talk about Native Americans because they basically don't exist, as horrifying as that is to say. And Asian Americans is very, very low. I mean, there was a local reporter in New York who was interviewed the other day talking about how, you know, the person who was interviewing, who was a person he knew well, a friend, said, you know, I don't find Asian American men attractive. Like, I don't, they scare me. You know, like how are you supposed to move ahead if people are very clear, like they don't find you attractive or your race attractive, and they don't find you, they find you scary. I mean, you know, I don't know how you can hope to be successful in that kind of an environment.
Yeah, really nauseating stories there. And recently, Soledad, you spoke at Carnegie Mellon University and you said, we've taken that step back for years when talking about race and equality. And I bet a lot of people right after the George Floyd murder would have thought, okay, America, now we're in a new place. We've taken so many steps forward. But I actually understand your sentiment in taking a few steps back. And I'd love for you to expound on that. What does that look like? And I know on social media, particularly, I love the fact that you call out media companies. So I'd love for you to send a message to folks who may be watching this or maybe going to see this after the fact. What can media do a better job at when covering these kind of stories?
Yeah, you know, I'll answer the second part first, which is I have found, and it's so not incredibly like, wow, as a response, just track it. What we have done, I anchor a syndicated show that we co-produce with Hearst TV, which is called Matter of Fact with Soledad O'Brien. And what we started to do, because our tagline is stories as diverse as America, was to track it. Are we actually telling stories as diverse as America? You know, like, who do we put on TV? And we have a spreadsheet that tracks who is on our air. That's it. We just make sure we do it. And you see your own bias when you start to track those things. You know, you really begin to determine, like, you know, how are we telling these stories? For example, if we did missing person stories, you know, would we find like, wow, it seems like all the missing people stories we're doing are young white women. That's interesting. I wonder why. So I think one way to really make a change is to start tracking and holding yourself accountable, because I do think sometimes those errors or those lack of insight is not intentional. It's just bias, and you just don't necessarily see those big gaping holes again because you feel comfortable. But you know, you have a sense like, oh, I am my audience, and often I am not my audience. My audience is very diverse. And so I need to make sure I'm covering a lot of ground. Number one. Yeah, I do think we take a step back because I think TV news loves to be very self-congratulatory versus, you know, coming up with a plan. If we were not talking about diversity, but we were talking about refrigerators, right? We would map it out. We would have goals. We would come back every month and assess those goals. How do we do? Where are we falling short? How do we fix it? Why are we falling short? You know, if it were just a product, like a regular product, we would have no problem saying, like, here's what we're trying to get to. And I think we have a real challenge often in holding ourselves accountable and really thinking about, like, what do we want to get to and how do we get there? So yeah, in the wake of George Floyd, everyone was like, kumbaya, this is amazing. Well, it's only amazing if you see actual tangible change over time. You know, doing one special, doing one event, hiring one person is not actual change. What really makes change is, where are you hiring people from? You don't be baffled that you can't find any Black employees when you actually, you know, go and recruit at Harvard and Yale and not at organizations that serve overwhelming numbers of Black people. You know, recruit in both places. And so I think it's just really all about holding oneself accountable, which at the end of the day isn't so complicated.
Soledad O'Brien, we can go on and on here, but such a pleasure to have you on. We'll do it again when we can do this in person. Thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to see you both. Thank you so much.